Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hillstring Gang, Rango.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And we are opening up season five.
Season five. That's pure love, y'all. Thank you for listening and liking and sharing. And Patreon members, thank you so much for your support. Couldn't do it without you. Apple subscribers, love y'all.
And as we told you last week, we had quite the lineup for season five, and we were kicking it off with the story of Charlie Frazier.
Charlie Frazier. If you don't know who he is, you will when we get done.
And if you have trouble finding out information on him, welcome to the club.
Yeah. Jim Chapman had to really go deep in this.
And the problem with this guy is he had like 200 different names.
Yeah.
So depending on what name you used as to what crimes you would pull up. But I was able to make it happen. And like any good story, there's a cast of characters. And there's people that Charlie had in his life that contributed not only to, you know, I can't say his good side because he didn't have a good side, to be honest. It's one of the worst criminals probably in history of any prison. Right. But contributed to his life story. And in this it's probably going to be a two-part, maybe a three-part series, but we're going to try to keep it to two. In this series, we're going to start off telling you about some cast of characters that played a part in him getting put into Angola.
Right.
And
another reason most of you haven't heard of him is there was no social media or really news covers, TV or anything back during this
strictly
time.
Newspaper.
Right, strictly newspaper.
Really.
And like you said, in any good story, not only the cast of characters, we're going to take you back in time and set it up because it was a whole different world back then.
Well, tell them about Prohibition.
All right, so Prohibition, y'all, has always fascinated me. I know it has Jim, and some stuff I'm going to read to you now is very important, and really it's important even to this day, the routes and everything that they established. But Prohibition was a period from January 16th, 1920 through December 5th in 1933, which restricted the manufacture, transportation, and sale of alcoholic beverages. This naturally has created a black market, which led to the, which everybody knows and heard of this term, but it led to bootleggers, which were people who distilled their own spirits or alcohol and sold them to the public in the shadows of law enforcement. Now, during this time, bootlegging was the biggest business in probably in the world, but especially in states like Arkansas, where even today, 33 of the state's 75 counties are still dry counties.
Pretty crazy, huh?
And way back when I was in high school, I went to a football camp at, the Bow Weevils. I came to Arkansas State, and it was a dry county. And I know because we tried to buy beer.
Yeah. And y'all, dry county means you just can't sell alcohol.
You can't buy it. You have to go across the line to wherever. But even though it was illegal, everyone seemed to know that bootlegging was happening, right? And the bootleggers themselves were well known to law enforcement, often because they were what I call frequent flyers or repeat offenders. And these bootleggers, like other criminals, have their range of characters as well. And some of them were simply enterprise and businessmen, and while others were vicious and violent criminals.
So we're going to bring y'all back. We're going to bring y'all back to 1890, and we're going to tell you about one of those cast of characters, and this guy's name was Hence Giles. And Hence Giles was born in Texarkana, Arkansas, on December 11th of 1890. His parents were named Jack and Martha, and he was the eighth of 10 siblings in the Giles family, y'all. And back in those days, it was all about having kids.
Yep.
Let's put it this way. They didn't have, you know, what your contraceptive was? You didn't have sex.
Well, not only that.
There wasn't condoms.
Yeah.
There wasn't the pill.
Specifically, these large families on the farms, that was labor.
Yeah, that's right.
They used them to work.
That's right, and that's exactly what the Giles did. They were actually all longtime farmers around that Texarkana, Arkansas area. Now, they moved to what was known as Days Creek in Miller County, and the way they know this, and I actually have got a hold to this, and it was the 1900 census. Back then, these census were actually handwritten. It wasn't like you did a few years back where you went on the computer and filled out an online thing and submitted it. This was handwritten.
They went door to door and literally knocked on your door and say, who lives here? How many kids do you have, et cetera.
That's correct. And so one thing I do want to mention for all you patron members out there, we're going to post all kinds of stuff on Patreon, including the actual census from 1900 with Hence Giles' parents' signature on that census form. All this stuff is kind of interesting and a lot of history. But during that census, he lived on his family farm in 1900 in Days Creek. He had a bunch of brothers and sisters. He had an older brother, James, who actually died as an infant, and an older sister, Hattie, who died at six. So there was a little bit of tragedy in his family. And then 10 years later in 1910, Henderson is still listed at the homes with his brothers, and they refer to that 1910 census to know that. Now, on February 5th of 1911, Hence gets married.
That's my birthday.
There you go. Well, he got married on your birthday, and he married Ruth McBride in Texarkana. The two, they lived just a few houses apart prior to them getting married, so they were in all likelihood, probably lifelong friends and fell in love and all that stuff. And in 1917, he, again, they did a census, and he's listed as a farmer with his wife, Ruth, his two children he had at that point. So they were starting a big family. And I even got a hold to his draft registration card.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Which is pretty awesome. And we'll post that as well. And even moreover, his voter registration card that we're going to post online.
And so, y'all, look, check this out. And like Jim said, everything was newspapers, and he found this super interesting article. It says, wife's discovery saves farmer's life. Rendered unconscious by a fall into a dry well, sheriff makes haul of bootleggers. Special to the Times, Texarkana, February 3rd, hints Giles, a substantial farmer living about 7 miles southeast of town, was the victim of a peculiar accident which nearly cost him his life yesterday. He started down in a well, which is about dry, for the purpose of cleaning it out or digging it a little bit deeper, when the rope broke and he fell to the bottom, a distance of about 30 feet. He was rendered unconscious and lay for nearly an hour at the bottom of the well as no one was about at that time. He was finally discovered by his wife, who called assistance, and he was extricated from his predicament and restoratives applied. While he is in serious condition, it is not believed his injuries will be fatal.
There you go. Right. So his wife was a hero.
Right.
Saving, you hear about these folks falling down wells and things like that.
Shit,
and
that's
at this
two
point,
stories, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was a ways, and thank God for his wife who was able to save him. But hopefully you caught him there. He's a sheriff now.
Right.
And so he, you know, that's kind of a big deal. And that was back in 1918. And look, just we're going to have a lot of articles that we're going to read in here. I was able to find a lot of newspaper articles that are super interesting and very important to the story. So bear with us on that. Right. In 1920, Henderson is living in Days Creek still. He's actually living with his father, wife, and two children, and there are several other families living in the same area, several other brothers and sisters and things like that. And there, at that point, he's still listed as a farmer in that census. Now, sometime between 1924 and 1926, three of the Giles brothers leave farming and they become servants to the city of Texarkana. So they, you know, public service of some sort.
Hence, that's a guaranteed job, right? And that, if you have bad crops and you farm, you don't make any money. If you can get on with the city, you're getting a paycheck.
That's right. And you know, you don't have to worry about if it rains or it don't rain. I mean, there's a lot of advantages to that. And hence joins the police department along with his brother Richard, and his brother Ona becomes a fireman in the city. So they're becoming, you know,
it's not like Texarkana was that big.
Yeah, yeah. There might have been two firemen in the whole city, right. But hence his wife Ruth sadly passes away at 35 years old due to what people believe is complications from the flu. So that was back then they didn't have flu shots.
Yeah, well, and they have the life expectancy was so low, like you were talking about the kids and infants dying and kids dying. I mean, they didn't have all the vaccines and everything they have now.
Right. So that left Hintz as a single father of two young children. Maddie is 12 at that time, and Virgil, his son, is 10 at that time.
Right. So y'all, like less than 4 months later, at about 6:30 a.m. on July 16, 1926, Hintz is on patrol and is murdered in cold blood as he attempted to detain three men alleged to be bootleggers. Now, Officer Giles pulled the men over on East Broad Street near the College Hill Viaduct for driving on the wrong side of the road. He saw a quart bottle of liquid, presumably he thought it was whiskey, and he asked to inspect it. As he was inspecting the jar, one of the men grabbed it back, pulled out a revolver, and shot Hintz three times, twice through the heart and once in the head, killing him instantly.
And y'all, that's a big deal because this is like what he said. This is a Texarkana at that time was a very small town.
Right.
And you've got three brothers that are all in public service.
Right.
Look, they're out for blood now.
That's it. I mean, that's a get a rope.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the time of his death, Officer Giles was reported to be one of the best men on the force, and news of the cold-blooded killing spread quickly throughout the region. And y'all, when we talk about that, when the newspapers went out and everything, but word of mouth, the grapevine is literally where this got established. And so you killed a police officer, especially a well-respected one, then it just didn't happen back then. Not like it does nowadays where you hear about it every day.
That's right. And of course, this is in the heat of bootlegging. And I actually have a picture of the street, the actual street and actual section in which he was shot, killed.
Broad Street with Hickory.
That I'm going to post on the Patreon. So join that Patreon. You see all this cool stuff.
For those
of
you who don't know, Viaduct is a drainage canal. That as we mentioned earlier, this is mostly farming area.
So the commercial appeal, and this is still a major newspaper today in Memphis, Tennessee. The commercial appeal ran a little newspaper article at that point, and they went on to say Henry Giles, member of the Arkansas Night Police Force, was shot and fatally wounded early this morning while attempting to arrest two supposed bootleggers whose identity has not been definitely established. Funny how they wrote back then.
Right.
Persons who witnessed the tragedy said Giles stopped the car in which the men were driving, and after a few words, he reached in the car and lifted out a quart jar of whiskey. One of the men instantly sprang out, grabbed the whiskey bottle with one hand, and drew an automatic pistol with the other. How about that?
Right.
And began shooting. Giles crumpled to the ground with one bullet through his head and two through his heart. He died a few minutes later. The men then got back in the car and drove rapidly away. The sheriff and police departments have been hard at work on the case day and night and have five men in jail for investigation. They also have found what they believe to be the car used by the murderers. Hmm. Its owner is one of the suspects in jail. He claims he loaned his car all night to another man, and the latter was also rounded up and jailed. Two of the suspects live on the Texas side, and one of them was pardoned from the penitentiary a few days ago by Mr. Ma Ferguson. The community is greatly aroused. That's a strange verb to use, adjective to use there. Aroused over the murder, and much indignation is expressed. Giles was 35 years of age and was rated one of the best men on the force. He was universally liked. His wife died 2 months ago, leaving two small children. Now they are orphaned. Officers and citizens will declare that every available means be used to arrest the murderers and bring them to justice. So, yeah, don't forget about that his kids, you know, were, you know, 12 years old. I think the other one was 8 or 10 or something like that. But they were young. And now they have no mother or father.
Right.
And back in those days, now they had a lot of uncles and stuff. Yeah. I'm sure one of those took them in.
Right.
But if you didn't have that in those days, you were going to an orphanage. Which sucked in those days.
They weren't nice places. They weren't regulated. So another little article by the Durant, Oklahoma Daily Democrat, dated July 16, 1926, says, Texarkana, Texas, July 16th, United Press. Extraordinary police precautions are exercised for the protection of three suspects who are being held in connection with the slaying of patrolman Hence Giles earlier today. It is thought the crime was committed by bootleggers. Now,
so it's getting around.
Yeah, what this means is they're about to lynch their ass, right? So, and the public wants to kill them, and so they've got three suspects who are under arrest, and probably had to stand armed guards outside the jail and everything else. But I'm gonna read you another one from the Eagle Bryan, Texas paper, July 16th, 1926. It says, "Big bold headlines: Officer is shot by a violator of traffic laws." And it says, "Texarkana, July 16th." Hence Giles, police officer, Texarkana, Arkansas, was shot and instantly killed today by an unidentified white man. The officer was shot three times when he attempted to stop his assailant for a traffic violation. This was the hottest story in the nation.
Yeah, and it's spreading. And you know, as we told you, this was how people got their news, the newspaper. Right. There was obviously no internet, and TV was in its infancy.
Right.
So then we'll bring you to Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Herald, who was talking about some of the suspects and how the police were having to kind of guard those suspects because the public, they wanted to kill them, right? They weren't police officers. They were just regular people. They were wanting to kill them
as hell. Yeah.
So it says, extraordinary police precautions were exercised here today for the protection of three suspects arrested and held for investigation in connection with the slaying of patrolman Hinch Giles earlier today by alleged bootleggers. Public indignation was aroused at the slaying of the officer, they love that word, who was shot down as he lifted a jar of liquor from an automobile he had halted for traffic violation shortly after dawn. One of the two men in the machine grabbed the whiskey from the officer's hand and fired three bullets into his body simultaneously. And notice they called a car a machine.
Yeah, right.
How about that?
It's all different. And you said TV was in its infancy. No,
vehicles.
Radio.
As well.
Radio was in its infancy. Yeah. TV wasn't even a thought yet.
And then they got one more here, and this one's from El Paso, Texas. And the headline on that is killing of officer arouses Texarkana. There's that arouse word again. Three suspects have been arrested in connection with the slaying of police patrolman Hinch Giles, who was shot down when he attempted to arrest an automobile party for a traffic violation early Friday. Every precaution is being taken to guard the men against violence as public indignation is high over the incident. Patrolman Giles was lifting a jar of liquor from the automobile when one of the men in the car grabbed the whiskey from him and fired three bullets into his body. So it is getting around. It's everywhere.
Yeah. El Paso, Texas is, you know, all the way across the state of Texas. Now, think about it. There was no AP wire and all that. It's getting out. And you just have murders, especially police officers back then. So the coverage continues on the story, and Officer Giles was buried in Pleasant Hills Cemetery near the farm on which he grew up. It was well attended with over 3,000
more. That's huge.
That's probably more than they had in all of Texarkana.
There are probably people all over America that came to that. And look, back then travel wasn't an easy thing. Right, you couldn't just jump on I-12.
Right.
You know?
And then, dirt roads and stuff, right? I don't think they had much blacktop back then. And another article, which is from the Shreveport Times, it says, slain officer buried Sunday with 3,000 attending. Texarkana, July 18th, and then it says special in parentheses. The identity of the murder of policeman Hinch Giles, who was killed by a supposed bootlegger early Friday, is still a mystery. The sheriff and police department of both Arkansas and Texas sides of the town are still working on the case. And let me talk about that. Keep saying Texarkana, y'all. Naturally, we're familiar with it, but it's in that north. It would be just to above the northwest corner of Louisiana, and it actually the Texas-Arkansas line splits the city, okay? So that's what they're talking about. So it says, the sheriff and police department of both Arkansas and Texas sides of town are still working on the case. But as yet, nothing has been secured that gives hope of an early solution. The body of the slain officer was taken Sunday afternoon to Pleasant Hill Church near his old home, 10 miles south of here, where the funeral and interment took place. About 3,000 people attended, including several hundred from Texarkana. The Reverend H. Jennings of the Methodist Church of Fouquet and the Reverend J. W. Thomas of the Texarkana College Hill Methodist Church conducted the services. And y'all, it's the Shreveport Times in July 19, 1926. Now, so news of the funeral was reported as far away as Miami, Florida. Can you believe that?
There was a little headline from Miami, Florida, and it said about 3,000 persons attended the funeral of Hinch Giles, patrolman who was shot by an unidentified bootlegger. The investigation started immediately and several key suspects were detained. However, nothing was strong enough to take the charges to court. So they got an issue. They've got these men that they are pretty sure are involved in this thing, but they don't have any evidence.
Right.
So other than, you know, somebody saying, oh, they did it,
yeah.
They have no evidence besides that. And there wasn't DNA back then. Yeah. If there was DNA back then, they probably had
fingerprints back then. In the 20s, they didn't have that yet.
Yeah, so they would have had him dead to rights otherwise. But this was back when you had to do some real hard police work.
Yeah,
they
damn sure weren't.
No cameras.
Yeah.
None of that. So we're going to tell you about Kenneth Knox. Okay. And this is another one of our cast of characters and that plays into this story. Down in Shreveport, Louisiana, which is about 70 miles south of Texarkana, police detain a 24-year-old guy named Kenneth Knox on suspicion of murder. Now, Knox retains his innocence. Okay, so they're thinking he had something to do with this. The Shreveport Times then releases an article, and it says five suspects under arrest after murder of Texarkana policeman. Kenneth Knox, 24 years old, of Shreveport, was taken into Texarkana shortly after midnight by officers as a suspect in connection with the slaying of Pence C. Giles, and it should have been Hence, but they wrote Pence.
Right.
Night watchman of the Arkansas side of the city who was killed by an unidentified man at daylight Friday. Now, how about him referring to him as a night watchman?
Right.
That's pretty cool. Knox protested his innocence of the entire affair, claiming that he did not even know that an officer had been killed there. In accordance with the suggestion of Lieutenant Allen of Shreveport Police Department, who questioned him in the presence of Texarkana officials at police headquarters at midnight, he expressed his willingness to accompany the Texas and Arkansas officials back to Texarkana. He declared he retired, meaning went to sleep,
right,
at a local hotel at 1 o'clock Friday morning and did not arise until after noon. He declared he can establish an alibi to show that he was in Shreveport at the time of the killing. Deputy Sheriff J.N. Reynolds, George Hunter, Constable of the Texas side of Texarkana, William Crawl, Chief of Police on the Arkansas side, and Ernest Ford came to Shreveport to take Knox into custody. He returned with them. So this is one of the guys that they're trying to basically pin this thing on, that, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of evidence. And he's up there and he's saying, hey, I can prove I was not.
Somebody had to give his name up for them to get on him.
Right? Yeah, that's right. And he was probably a well-known bootlegger and you know, had kind of a reputation that probably was on that radar right from the start.
Yeah, well, police work was just a whole different time, and I always said eyewitness testimony is the worst. But let me read you the next article from the Shreveport Journal on July 17th, 1926. It says, Knox exonerated from blame for officer's death.
How about that? Blame
right, blame me. Texarkana, July 17th. Kenneth M. Knox, arrested at Shreveport late yesterday and brought here early this morning by Chief of Police Crowell, who went there after him in connection with the murder yesterday of policeman Hence Giles. So y'all, it was quick. Succeeded in satisfying the officers after his arrival here that he had nothing to do with the murder and was released. Four other men who were arrested on suspicion have been released. So they're working three. And
yeah.
Y'all, back in that day, if you killed a cop and they bring you in for question, I bet they beat the shit out of you. there was no yellow phone books. They just beat your fucking ass.
There's no dash cams. Right. There's no body cams.
Yeah. You better believe they thought you actually killed them. You wouldn't have been released.
Right.
So let's go to another article, y'all, and says, release Knox at Texarkana. Shreveport youth establishes innocence of connection with Giles' murder. And this was all in the headlines. It says, Texarkana, Texas, July 17th. Of six suspects arrested in connection with the murder of policeman Hence G. Giles by a supposed bootlegger early Friday, four have been released, having convinced the officers that they had no connection with the matter. This included Kenneth M. Knox, who was brought here early Saturday from Shreveport, and the two men still in custody are the owners of a car answering the description of the one used by the murderer and the man he said he loaned the car to the night before the killing. The officers are still investigating these two, and another suspect arrested at Magnolia was brought back Saturday afternoon, but he too quickly satisfied the officers of his innocence. Officers said tonight, however, that there will be no relaxation of efforts to capture the guilty party or parties. Officers in all surrounding towns and territory have been notified, and a keen watch is being kept for them. The funeral of the dead officer will be held Sunday afternoon.
So they're kind of, you know, we're backing up a little bit and we're telling you what happened with those five guys that were released. And, and you know, you have to keep this in mind, folks, that the public, the general public was pissed. They were. So the police are feeling pressure.
Right.
Because now not only have they arrested people, and it was just like it is now back then. When you got arrested, people assumed you were guilty. Right. They assume there's a reason the police drug you in. Well, the police are arresting these people and then letting them go, which the public's probably like, what the hell?
Really what they're doing is conducting an investigation. Back then, you didn't have any Miranda rights or a right to an attorney or anything. All that hadn't been established yet. So they're bringing them in, arresting them, sweating them, or beating their ass or doing whatever. But at some point, and like in any good investigation, they're basically exonerating them, basically finding enough evidence to say, okay, they weren't involved.
That's right. So at this point, and this is July 18th of 1926, five suspects have been detained in that case, and they are steady releasing them. All but two have been released, one in custody, was the owner of the car. Remember, we told you about that Officer Giles pulled over. The man claimed he was innocent because he lent that car to a different person the day before, and police identified the man that borrowed the car, and he is the second one they got in custody. So they said, okay, we're going to get the owner and the guy he said he loaned the car to.
Right.
So it's got to be one of them, right?
Right.
Police are still searching for a third man that was seen in the vehicle, and they now believe they have the vehicle in which the man escaped from the scene in. The car was actually found in the outskirts of town. And I have a picture of that car, and I'm going to post it on the Patreon. Now,
not many people had cars back then.
That's right. I mean, and look, when you see this car, it's fancy, right? It's beautiful. It's something I'd love to have. So July 20th, just a few days after that, the Times, Shreveport Times, said the identity of the slayer of policeman Hinch Giles, who was shot to death by a supposed bootlegger, they all use that term, early Friday, is still a mystery despite efforts from both the sheriff and police departments. The suspects arrested Saturday are still held in jail, some of them, but definite proof against either one of them is lacking. So those two were still in jail. They're having trouble finding proof.
Right.
Several new clues were obtained Monday, but none of them yielded anything tangible. Chief of Police Kroll and several deputy sheriffs left the city hurriedly around 3 o'clock Monday afternoon to run down one of the latest tips they had received. Their destination was not given out, and they had not returned at a late hour Monday night. A roadster found abandoned 10 miles north of town Friday is now believed by the officers to be the car in which the murderers escaped after killing Giles. So undoubtedly, they got a tip that there's a car abandoned on the side of the road, and you need to check it out, and they all hauled ass out of there. And, and you know, you can picture it, like in a movie.
Yeah, it was a 1925 Ford Model T Roadster, very rare to even have a car back then,
fancy one.
Had some money, so
all that bootlegging.
So on Floyd Dobson, the car in question is believed to be owned by Floyd Dobson, a known bootlegger, y'all. And during the investigation, it was said that a Mexican national was an eyewitness that identified Dobson. That's kind of questionable, right? But back then, they were looking for anybody to do whatever.
Yeah.
But so then it led on to July 21st of 1926. And this is an article from the Shreveport Journal. Says arrests another man as suspect in murder case, and that's the headlines, y'all. And there's a subtext headline underneath it. It says Floyd Dobson of Hope strongly suspicion of connection with officer's death. Says Texarkana, July 21st, Floyd Dobson of Hope, Arkansas, was arrested there Tuesday and brought here and placed in the Miller County Jail Tuesday afternoon on a warrant issued out of Texarkana. Municipal court charged him with the murder in connection with the slaying of policeman Hence Giles of Texarkana Force early last Friday. Giles was killed while trying to arrest the supposed bootlegger, who then drove away in a Ford Roadster. This car was later found in a pine thicket abandoned about 6 miles east of here. Officers say they have a witness who will testify that the car belonged to Dobson. Besides, there is said to be other strong evidence against the accused. The officers intimate they have a strong case against him. According to the officers, Dobson has a long record as a bootlegger, having been frequently arrested on liquor charges within the last 3 or 4 years. He also has been shot a couple of times, once by the sheriff of Hempstead County and once a few weeks ago by another bootlegger near Texarkana, it is alleged.
He may need to give up bootlegging.
Yeah, right.
That's man, he ain't had nothing but bad luck. He's been shot a couple times. Now he's going to jail.
You're right. So tell you the next one. It says, charged suspect with murder of Texarkana cop. Texarkana, July 20th. In a warrant issued by the Texarkana, Arkansas Municipal Court Monday, charging him with the murder of policeman Hence Giles, Floyd Dobson was arrested at Hope, Arkansas Tuesday morning and later was brought here and lodged in the Miller County Jail. The officers intimate they have a strong case against him, although they are not giving out any details. It is known, however, that they have one witness who has already made an affidavit that the roadster used by the murderer in making his getaway, and which later was found abandoned in a thicket several miles east of town, is the property of Dobson. The officers have ascertained that this car was stolen from L.C. Smith in Center, Texas, July 13th. That's why they abandoned it. Officers say Dobson has frequently been arrested on charge of bootlegging during the last 2 years, and no date has been set for his preliminary hearing. Giles was shot to death last Friday by a supposed bootlegger whom he was trying to arrest.
Yeah, so now they've got the guy they think is the owner of that, you know, vehicle in custody, or at least the one who stole it from the real owner. And so it continues on, and we're on July 21st, 1926, and this is a week after the killing, y'all.
Right.
And they have three men that are key suspects: Floyd Dobson, who we've been telling you about,
right,
James Sims, and Oliver Lawler.
Right.
And so the Shreveport Journal, who was continuing to keep people updated, said Deputy Prosecuting Attorney J.D. Cook Jr. announced today that the three men who have been confined in the Miller County Jail in the last several days on the murder charges growing out of the killing of policeman Hence Giles will be given a hearing in the Arkansas Side Municipal Court next Monday morning. Giles was shot to death on East Broad Street early Friday of last week by a supposed bootlegger who the officer had stopped and presumably was in the act of placing under arrest. The murderer dashed away in his car after the killing before anyone could obtain a good description of him. Officers say they have strong evidence against some of the men in jail, but just not what it may be will probably not be known until the trial. So even back then, they kept that stuff close to their vest. Right. They didn't want to screw up their case. And then the Shreveport Journal, on July 24th, just a few days later, said after the Dobson preliminary hearing, Sims and Lawler were discharged. So you got to hear this article. just a few days after that, on the 29th of July of 1926, which said Floyd Dobson, charged with murder in connection with the slaying of policeman Hinch Giles, was held for the Arkansas side grand jury without bail. Following a hearing before Judge Joseph in the municipal court Wednesday afternoon, Giles was killed by a supposed bootlegger whom he was trying to arrest. One of the witnesses, a Mexican, identified Dobson as the man who shot Giles. Dobson was arrested at Hope, Arkansas, several days after the killing. Sims and Ollie Lawler, who also had been jailed, were charged with being implicated in Giles' murder. They were discharged following Dobson's trial. Several hundred people attended the hearing. You don't have several hundred people attending a hearing today.
You're right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So, you know, that in and of itself is just absolutely crazy. This tells you this is the biggest story in the country.
Right.
And after further investigation, it was believed that Dobson was not the shooter either, but he's not released yet.
Yeah.
$1,000 reward, which was back in
like,
those days, was like, $15,000.
Yeah,
it's 15 times.
Yeah, it's a lot.
What it is now is now being offered for information that leads to the capture and arrest of the killer. So it's really heating up, and they still don't have, you know, a suspect, and or they have suspects, and they don't have an actual murderer conviction yet.
Right.
And the public's getting pissed.
So go forward to August the 5th in 1926, and the Shreveport Journal says, big headlines, offer big reward for Giles Slayer. And then a sub-headline, man held at Texarkana now believed not to be the murderer of Arkansas officer. In Texarkana, August the 5th, rewards aggregating $1,000 will be paid for information that will lead to the arrest and conviction of the man who shot and killed Hinch Giles, Texarkana, Arkansas. Policeman on the East Broad Street, July 16th, it was announced by Chief Police Walter Crowell today. Giles was shot by a supposed bootlegger whom he was trying to arrest. Following the murder, several persons were arrested and jailed, and on July 28th, Floyd Dobson was held for the Miller County Grand Jury without bail, charged with murder. The other suspected persons were then discharged. However, the officers seem a little uncertain that Dobson is the guilty person, although one witness identified him as being the man who fired the shots that killed Giles. So Dobson continues to claim his innocence, and circumstantial evidence points to Dobson as shooter, but police are hesitant to close the case. They want to get the right man, y'all.
Yeah, and you know, Dobson does what anybody charged with a crime does, and he kind of lawyers up. And, you know, even back then, lawyers and attorneys, they wanted these high-profile cases.
Right.
This was one of the highest-profile cases going on in the country. And attorneys for Floyd Dobson in the Miller County Jail, charged with first-degree murder, have sued out of a writ of habeas corpus in circuit court, which will be heard before Circuit Judge J.H. McCallum at the courthouse here next Wednesday. Dobson was denied bail several weeks ago following a preliminary hearing before Judge Joseph in municipal court, and has been confined in the Miller County Jail ever since. Dobson is alleged to have killed Hinch Giles, a policeman on the Arkansas side force, when the latter was trying to arrest him for bootlegging early in the morning. It was several days later that Dobson was arrested, charged with the crime. At the hearing, one witness positively identified Dobson as the man who did the shooting. That was the Mexican.
Right.
And there was much circumstantial evidence introduced against him. Now, a concerned citizen turned in a man who had bragged about his shooting skills the day after Officer Giles was shot, and his actions led the police to detain him, but he was later released. And listen to this article. So this is the Fort Worth Star, and we're bringing you kind of back again to September 18th. And it says, bad man boast fails to interest Texarkana chief in slaying probe. Steve Miller's boast of being a bad man and gunman, which landed him in jail Friday night at Mineral Wells in his connection with the murder of Hinch Giles, here on July 16th was scoffed at Saturday by the chief of police, Crawl, who said his department would take no action against Miller. So this guy busts in and starts talking about how good a shooter he is, and they're like, "You're full of shit."
Yeah.
So Miller was arrested by authorities after Allie East, a former clerk of a hotel, told police in Mineral Wells that Miller was boasting of his prowess with a gun the day Giles was shot and killed by the driver of a whiskey-laden automobile, which an officer had attempted to search. Floyd Dobson was taken into custody recently and held to await the action of a grand jury on a charge of murder with connection to the slaying, and is the only man we are interested in, that from Chief Crawl. Bond for Dobson has been fixed at $1,000. Well, as we told you, it's like $15,000 today, pending the grand jury investigation. Crawl said he would not request Mineral Wells officials to return Miller here. So this guy was, you know, boasting and to a female probably trying to impress her. And she ran straight to the police and said,
"Let his mouth overload his ass, y'all."
Yeah.
So, y'all, while on bail in July 1927, now this is the next year, and Dobson returned to his old ways and once again was arrested for bootlegging when police raided his property and confiscated a 200-gallon steel. So that's where it probably got the money for the $10,000 bond.
Yeah, and it's important to mention, that's right, that it was a $10,000 bond. And
that was like, got to be like $1 million bond now.
Yeah, they probably didn't think he would make bond.
Right.
You know, so they're like, okay, we'll give him bond. And they jack it up to 10 grand, which is like saying $1 million. He comes up with it. Yeah. So this guy's cash. Obviously got.
Yeah, they didn't have bondsmen back in that day.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're a bad guy like Floyd Dobson was, you can't stay out of, you can't stay out of trouble. Right. So, here comes a headline on July 12th of 1927, and it says, "Man released in murder case arrested again. Floyd Dobson, who is in under indictment in Miller County on a charge of murdering Hence Giles of the city, was arrested Saturday near his home in Hempstead County on a charge of manufacturing whiskey." So no doubt he made bond, and they're watching him. They're putting somebody on
him. He's going to do what he does for a living.
That's it.
Now he's going to really make some money.
That's right, and it's the only way he knows, probably. The sheriff of Miller County and his deputies caught Dobson in the act of operating a steel. It is alleged, and he was released on a $500 bond for his appearance before the grand jury. So Dobson's got some money. Dobson is widely known in this territory, and officers say he's an old offender. He was said to have been tried at Louisville last Monday for the murder of a policeman, but the case was continued until the October term of court by the agreement of both sides. Policeman Giles was shot and killed while searching a car driven by a man suspected of being a bootlegger. So, at this point, they've got all these suspects. They don't really have anything that's sticking.
Right.
And a break comes in.
So what we're doing, and you heard this over and over again about the murder and these people being arrested, and we're painted. Whenever I tell a story, I see it all in my mind. You know, and so that's what we're trying to do for y'all, is paint the picture. Now, why would we do all this? Because of what I'm about to tell you right now. And says a major break in the case comes in January of 1928. So, y'all, it's almost 2 years later, when police capture an escape felon, Elridge Robertson Johnson, also known as Charlie Frazier. But Frazier's story started long before the Giles murder.
Boy, it sure did.
Right? In fact, his initial run-in with the law was a decade earlier, in December of 1916, when he was sentenced to 3 years in jail for robbery. During his time in prison, he was far from a model prisoner. He was involved in a couple of fights, and this is going to be a major theme going forward, y'all, and escaped on three different occasions. He served his entire term and then some, and was released on February 23rd of 1920. And much later in life, Frazier claims that he was jailed for a crime he did not commit.
Of course he does.
Okay, so that this is a great point to wind it up. And we're painting you the picture of the time. So look, cops didn't get killed back then, y'all. It just didn't happen. And the with that whole investigation, how it went through. But ultimately, this story is about Charlie Frazier.
That's right. And we call this in the, you know, I guess in the bowling business, you call this the setup.
Right.
We've been setting you up for this guy.
Yeah.
And this guy, Dobson ain't got shit on Charlie Frazier.
I don't know. I don't think Al Capone. I don't think any of them back in the day.
Frank Nitti,
but
killed himself
Boy
twice.
Floyd. I don't, none of those dudes, Bonnie and Clyde, I'm telling you, they can't hold a can. They couldn't hold Charlie Frazier's dick when he was taking a piss.
That's right.
He is the original Alabama. Bro, we need to do a movie on this dude.
Yeah,
for real.
Yeah,
we can't
wait to get into this one with you. So that'll be coming at you next week. Look, join the patron. I'm posting. I'm gonna be on fire.
Yeah,
posting
all
pictures,
these pictures, articles.
All this stuff that I've dug up.
Yeah,
you're gonna love it.
Yeah,
you're gonna love seeing some of this stuff. The car, the place where the officer was shot. I've got maps. I've got all kinds of stuff.
All the news articles and with the wording, different wording and everything. It's all fire. But Charlie Frazier, I'm going on the record saying he's American badass. I do not know how there's not a movie about this cat yet after reading all the stuff that you dug up. But I'd always heard the name. And we'll tell y'all, more importantly, we'll tell you how Charlie Frazier ties into Bloody Angola. All right? That's what this is about. This is Bloody Angola. But you better believe it's really about Bloody Angola. So, again, we're setting it up for you.
And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody
Angola.
A podcast, 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.